Balotelli, Aguero! I swear you'll never see anything like this ever again.
Gavin keeps it. Skill on goal. Look at that pass. Haydock! Goal! Columbus!
There are things on here for the USA. Can they do it here? Cross and Dempsey's denied again. And Donovan has scored. Oh, can you believe this? Go, go, USA!
This is the beautiful game.
Oh, it's incredible!
Described by two uglies.
Stupendous!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
This is a thing of genius.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. Bonus edition. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Bonus Edition Beam.
Yeah, that's right. And we are, of course, brought to you by Zaftig Italian Village, our favorite soccer bar, the official soccer bar of Bone and Beam United. Lots to get to today, Beamer. We did our season preview yesterday with one Frankie Haydock, and that was a lot of fun. But we got a few more interviews lined up. It's Black and Gold Week. We've got quite a few people that you and I have talked to separately on our various shows.
Yeah.
So we're going to play a few of those back for you here. I was able to talk to Dr. Pete Edwards. Beamer, you've got a special guest that you had on just on Friday on your show.
Yeah, absolutely. Prez Bez, Tim Bezbachenko. He came on the program and still... Was it 3 years after we interviewed him for the first time, or maybe 2 years after? I still don't understand Tam and Gam. So I'd like to pick his brain about that again.
Yeah. Well, we get your chance to, so that'll be fun to listen to. And I'll be fully honest, we're recording this intro. None of these interviews have taken place,
yeah,
so we have
correct.
No idea what's actually going to happen in them. But we could pretend. But we won't do that.
And actually, if you want really behind the microphone, we're recording this before we recorded our crew season preview with Frankie.
Yes,
so
that's
we're
right.
doing this before anything.
Right. Yes. Everything you're about to hear is all a lie. No.
Actually, you just called me on our show and pretended to be Bez. And I called you on your show pretending to be Dr. Pete.
That's exactly right. Yes. But the final interview that we're hoping to have and we should have is with one Miguel Berry. So we're going to have
it's
the
Miguel
owner of the
F.
team,
Berry to you.
Miguel F. and Berry. That's right. So if it all works out, you should hear the guy who is hopefully going to be one of the premier goal scorers for this team this year, the president of the team and the owner of the team, all coming up over the next few minutes. So thanks for checking us out. Enjoy these interviews from Bone and Beam United. Crew forward, Miguel Berry. Miguel, how are you doing, man?
Yeah, doing well. Obviously, it's a little cold in Columbus right now, but I think we're getting through it, and hopefully we'll be in the summer months here soon.
Yeah, no doubt, right? What kind of temperature? I know that's been a discussion in soccer here of late with the U.S. national team playing some relatively cold games, and you've obviously played all over the country here, but what do you prefer? Are you a guy who likes to play in 80s, 90s, is that too hot? Or would you rather it be 40s? Or where do you see the ideal temperature to play?
You know, I would say in the 50s and raining is ideal. I think we actually had a day like that earlier this week. So we were loving it in training. But I would say for me, 50s and raining, I don't know how some people like playing in the 80s and 90s either. But for me, just living in the 80s and 90s at night. But everything else it makes it difficult to play.
So a cold night, a cold Tuesday night in Stoke, you'd be good with that.
I would enjoy that. I would enjoy that.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you that I feel like the last, you know, whatever it's been 8 months or so, there was kind of a revelation with you and being a part of the Columbus crew where you came in last year and immediately had an impact on the roster. The fans have really gravitated to what you've done on the field and obviously your personality as well. How does that feel for you when you've, you know, gone through your career, you've toiled and worked really hard to get to this point, and now you've got a chance where the fans have started to kind of come around and see, oh yeah, this guy, he's really awesome and a great player. How does that make you feel when the fans respond to what you're doing on the field and the hard work?
You know, obviously it's an incredible feeling. Obviously I've been with the club since 2020 and I've seen how great the fans are from a distance, you know, and now to see it up close as well, it's even better than I originally thought. So for me, it's very heartwarming. And you know, it makes me feel like I owe them even more, because the truth is in reality, I really believe I do, you know, they give everything they can to the club and I think I need to do the same. So, you know, it's obviously a heartwarming feeling, but it's honestly motivating as well. So that's what makes this club so great, is that, you know, really the fans, they kind of really support us and hold us up and hold us accountable too, which is something we need.
Yeah, let's talk about the season. You know, obviously you guys start off with Vancouver, and I don't make you want to divulge the game plan or anything necessarily, but in general, when you guys, you know, go into each game, you know, Caleb Porter obviously has a plan and he has something that he wants you guys to execute. What's the sense from you as far as your job in the 18 and your role with this team? When you're out on the field, are you looking to kind of create some chaos in the box, or do you feel like there is a little bit more that you have to pull back and try to be a little bit more, I don't want to say responsible, if that's the right word, but where do you see your role? Is it to kind of come in, create havoc, make things messy in there and find the ball like you have in the past? Or is there going to be a little bit more of a trying to move you off the ball and things like that to create some space for other guys?
That's a good question. Obviously, I think a forward's goal is always just to score goals. I think that's always his job. And I think it's no secret that this team, you know, needs to score more goals. And I think that's something we're very, very capable of doing. And, you know, in doing that, you know, not only is it necessarily me in the box, you know, doing things like that, but it's also, like you said, it's creating space for other guys to also, you know, contribute and open spaces and open, give people more time on the ball who can, you know, also score goals. So I think it's kind of a, you know, I think my job is necessary, and Giassi's as well, and Eric Hurtado, whoever plays up front, is their job is to primarily to score goals, and there's secondary to facilitate other people scoring goals. And I think that's what we're looking to do this season.
Help people understand what that's like. You know, Giassi is an established starter with this team, and he has had, you know, a really great career, U.S. national team, you know, a veteran guy. You're a younger player, but you've obviously played for quite a few years now, too. How's that partnership work, you know, in training and everything else? There's obviously a competitive part of that. But there's also, I'm sure, some level of friendship and respect that has to come along with it. And what has that been like for you to get to kind of work with and learn from a guy like Giassi?
It's been incredible. I mean, I tell him all the time, you know, he's incredible to work with, and he's one of the best human beings on the team. And, you know, I would say we're very similar. I don't think we feel like we compete with each other. I think we feel like we compete with ourselves. And we're both motivated by our own performances to perform better. And, you know, we both wish each other the best, and we both love it when each other scores. And I think, you know, it's a really, really, it's a really, really positive relationship. And that's something that I can say, you know, that honestly would have surprised me if you told me that, you know, years ago. But it's something that's incredibly positive and uplifting. And I think we both, you know, really cheer for each other. And it's honestly a pleasure to be his teammate. He's, you know, one of the best teammates, you know, I've ever had. So it's incredible to be able to learn from someone like that.
Let's talk about your career a little bit, because you got selected by the Crew in the 2020 MLS Super Draft. And, you know, because of a lot of things that happened with the pandemic, right? You're a young player, you're coming in, there's an established guy ahead of you. Opportunities to play were limited at first. And then on top of that, the U.S. Open Cup gets canceled. That is typically the types of games that younger players, newer players into a roster, they might get a chance to shine and show what they can do. And those opportunities to get on the field are so important compared to training. Training's obviously important too, but you got to be playing games. And so you ended up being loaned out to San Diego Loyal of the USL Championship. What was that like for you, you know, going through that? And what did you learn from that experience? And how do you think that helped you last year when you did get your opportunities?
You know, like you said, 2020 was such a strange year. And I don't think I fully understood that until last year. Obviously, I think we played maybe 11 fewer games. And, you know, if you're not playing as many games with the frequency, there's going to be fewer injuries, fewer suspensions, this and that. I think there weren't that many national team windows. So like you said, you know, those opportunities for me to kind of step in and show what I could do in a real game really weren't there. So for me, it was all about getting the opportunity to play in games, because that's really how you learn and develop is through games. And I was so excited to go play on loan in San Diego and play games. And for me, my whole mindset of that was just, you know, you're probably going to get one opportunity and you have to take it. And I think when I got the call to come back, I you know, I don't even know what kind of emotions I was feeling. All I knew is that, you know, I knew this was my one chance, and I was excited to be, to finally have gotten that chance. You know, it had been a long time coming. So, I just couldn't wait to get on the field and show what I could do. And I knew there was going to be a moment, and, it was, you know, I'm glad I took it, and I'm glad, you know, it's worked out since. But, I think going on loan was, you know, one of the best decisions I ever made. So I was really, really grateful for San Diego and really for Columbus Crew to allow me to do that.
You had in the Hell Is Real rivalry series last year, you had 3 goals in just 2 matches. That's a that's a pretty prodigious strike rate, especially in the rivalry game. What did it mean to you when you scored, you know, any of those goals, especially, you know, the one that won the game there? But what was that for you to be able to be a part of that rivalry and put your stamp on it so early in your, you know, time playing in that rivalry?
You know, I joke about the time because I think Giassi also has an unbelievable scoring record in that game. And I don't think he even got to play them last year, if I'm correct. So, you know, for me, it was, you know, it was, I've seen, you know, what that rivalry means to people. I've seen like its effect and obviously, you know, what it means to the fans and to be able to go in and contribute and really for the club was just incredible. Especially, you know, that second game, I think we were coming off of, it was more than just the rivalry. We were coming off of, you know, 5 or 6 game losing streak, which was something unparalleled. You know, I don't think anyone has ever experienced that in their career at this club. And I think we, you know, we just needed, you know, to get that weight off our shoulders. So it was a great feeling to be able to, you know.
So what is that rivalry? Obviously, it's still kind of new, but so are a lot of things in MLS. Your career is new, like that rivalry overall. I mean, what's the feeling in the team when you guys think about playing Cincinnati? I know you've got a different game on your mind this week, but in general, how much is that a focal point, or how much is that brought up in the off season?
You know, it's brought up, I would say, very casually in the off season, but I think when it's that week, I think we're very, very focused, and it's something that it's obligatory to win. You know, I think that's how we feel about it. I think, you know, anything less than a win is a loss for us in that game. And I think, that's really how we feel, going into it. But in the off season, it's more of, you know, something to look back and reminisce on. But you know, if you see anyone from Cincinnati or anything like that, or you know any of the players, it's always, you know, it's always brought up in jest or something like that. But for us, it's like I said, it's obligatory to win. So that's why we see it.
I understand what you're saying. You don't need to give a lot of attention to a team that is 3 wooden spoons. You don't have to say it. I said it for you. It's totally fine. You're good. all right. Well, so tomorrow, well, when we're recording this, it's tomorrow, Saturday, 3:30. You guys take on Vancouver in this home opener. Everybody coming out there is going to get a winter cap, I guess, because it's going to be cold and the Crew are doing a nice giveaway for that. You don't get to wear a winter cap if you're out there playing. So how do you stay warm on a game day like that? What have you found that works for you, or have you? Do you just have to kind of tough it out and suffer through it?
No, and you know what? If they're the winter caps, I think they are. They're gonna look really sweet. So I'm pretty jealous of everyone getting those. You know, I have to talk to Giassi about his whole Canada game and things like that, and so what he did, because I'm not used to playing in cold like that. So for me, it's gonna be, number one is keeping the feet warm, and then number two is obviously probably hands and upper body. But number one is definitely keeping your feet warm. So whether it's, you know, putting the boots in a warmer or something like that, that's got to be my priority there, because I think it's going to be absolutely freezing. But, you know, I think we're so excited. Yeah. And I think we're going to do well. I can't wait. So,
yeah, we're looking forward to seeing you. I guess the final question I have for you, because I don't get to ask many people this who have had this happen, how does it feel to be a meme? There's a few of them that involve you, but like the one I'm thinking of specifically is where Lucas scored one of his ridiculous goals, and then you had the thing right behind him where you know, kind of put your hand under his name on his jersey and were like, you see this guy? It's pretty great. How does that feel when that gets, like, you're just casually surfing social media like everybody, and then you're like, oh, there I am again. There's me and Lucas, and there's that thing being retweeted at me a million times. What's that like?
No, it's obviously nice to, you know, to have the fans engage with you. I think that's always something that, you know, to feel love and engagement is something that's incredible. But, you know, your friends, obviously you can use those memes in other situations too. So it's funny how that works. But, you know, for me, anything that engages the fans and makes them fall in love with the team even more, I think is incredible, and I'm glad to be a part of that. So it's a funny feeling. It's cool. Every once in a while, I don't want to look at it, so I see it, and I scroll by it. But you don't love to look at yourself all the time. That's just not who I am. But it's fun.
Well, I'm sure there's a double-edged sword to any type of memification or internet fame that comes with that. But you've got the real thing, buddy. You're a great goal scorer and someone that a lot of Crew fans have gotten excited about. So the good news is you don't just live on the internet. You actually go out on a field and get to kick ass every so often. So we're excited for that. Best of luck this season. We look forward to watching you and all good things going forward, man.
Thanks, Simon. I really appreciate it.
Our thanks again to Miguel Berry for coming on the show this week. Next up, you'll hear Brandon Beam, his conversation, and Bobby Carpenter as they talk to Tim Bezbachenko, team president for your Columbus Crew. That's next on Bone and Beam United.
Welcome back to Bone and Beam United. I had a chance to sit down on the morning show, myself and co-host Bobby Carpenter, talking to president of the Columbus Crew, Tim Bezbachenko. Take it away, Prez Bez.
Happy Black and Gold Day, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of excitement in the city, no doubt about it, right? We're on Christmas Eve. Tomorrow we get Christmas delivered to us. Should be a fun one tomorrow against Vancouver. Of course, 3:30 kickoff over at Lower.com Field. Just how's the offseason been for you guys? A little bit of a disappointing year last year, not making the playoffs after the unbelievable cup run in 2020. What have you guys been up to over there at the facility? How are the boys doing?
Yeah, they're doing well. We just got off a good preseason. We spent our first phase down in Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Miami area. Came back for a week. We were able to use the new bubble that we installed at Historic Crew Stadium, spend more time in Columbus in the preseason than ever before. Then we went down to Charleston for that tournament that we've done a number of times. And you know, we came out of preseason healthy. We were able to try out a couple different looks from a tactical standpoint, different formation. And so I think we had a really good preseason. For the most part, we stayed healthy. You know, one or two knocks that we got to get healthy in the next 2 weeks, but we're ready to go. You know, Vancouver is going to be a tough match, playoff opponent, and we need to bounce back because, as you said, last year was disappointing coming off a MLS Cup victory in 2020, and we have a core of the players that started in that match back, but we did make a number of changes to help hopefully upgrade in other positions and get more production in certain areas.
Yeah, so when you have, you know, an injury riddled season like that, coming off of a season where we're so successful and obviously big expectations and then moving into the new stadium, I mean, how frustrating was that? And you know, is there anything that you'll look at where you can try to improve to try to, you know, limit the injuries and try to make sure that you have your team as healthy as possible on a weekly basis?
Yeah, there's a few things we can do. Obviously, we look at our performance. Our medical department said, hey, how can we be more accountable on a daily basis to make sure that the players are, you know, we're tracking their loads and they're getting what they need so they don't have a soft tissue injury. You know, then there's some other injuries that are hard to prevent. You know, Aiden Morris's ACL tear in CONCACAF Champions League is something that's probably hard to prevent. Now, we're not in Champions League. And that congestion alone can cause injuries because you're having guys play Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday early in the year. And this year we're not playing in Champions League, so a little more focus on the performance side. You know, less match congestion, frankly, because of the schedule and the way the World Cup's at the back end. The league has been able to spread out our matches, and we'll have more rest between matches. And then we also got younger. You know, we moved a number of players off the roster that were over 30. We added a number of players that were either homegrown in their early 20s or in their prime. So we did a number of things to hopefully stay healthy this year. And some of it is some of the new players coming in as well. How do they gel? How do they fit in with the rest of the group to score more goals and fit in defensively?
He is Tim Bezbachenko, a.k.a. Prez Bez, president and general manager of the Columbus Crew, with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. You guys have done a phenomenal job scouting over the recent years when you and Caleb came in here, and that didn't stop this year. I know there's a lot of hype around some guys that you brought in. Obviously, Lucas El Arian, the headliner, is probably the best signing maybe in Crew history. But you bring in a couple of guys, Yaw Yeboah. We were talking to Frankie Hayduk yesterday on the podcast, and Frankie was just like gushing over Yaw and what he's doing. He's pacey, he's fast, he's got a great shot on him. He's very excited for him. And then Miloš Dežnek comes over, of course, Australian international. He actually played in UEFA Champions League games for Red Star Belgrade, which is pretty amazing, playing against the best players on the planet. You're scouting what you've done, and what about those two guys coming into this year should we be excited about?
Yeah, well, Yaw, you know, he came in through the Right to Dream sort of out of Ghana. They have this program called Right to Dream where they place players around the world, and he was acquired by Manchester City at one point and then put on loan. And obviously it's very hard to break through even when you're in the Manchester City program to get to the starting, you know, to get to the top level. So we found him in Poland. He was playing for Krakow. And was a player in Poland who was just he was producing. He has that pace, that ability to beat someone one on one and get a cross off or get to goal, and that's something we didn't have last year, you know, for a variety of reasons. And so we need to get players in the box with the ball at their feet, because you can either get a shot off, obviously a higher percentage shot off, or maybe you draw a penalty kick, and that's something that Yaw can do. On top of that, he's just a really good kid. He knows Blue and I played with. Jonathan Mensah at the national team with Ghana. And so, you know, when you're recruiting these players, obviously Caleb and I, we actually flew over to Poland. Not an easy trip, but at the end of the day, they're going to be playing with our players, and so you go tap into our players, say, hey, can you make a call, Jonah? And he did, and it really helped to solidify that signing. And then Miloš, you know, just what a top character. He's a guy who's played in the World Cup, like you said. He played in Champions League versus Liverpool, played for Fame Red Belgrade, which is a very hard, challenging league to play in. Mm-hmm. And we're looking for him to kind of step right in and be a leader in the back line along with Jonah.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive there. And you talked about, you know, recruiting guys. Has the new stadium and the new facilities helped that out at all when you're trying to bring in international talent?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're leading with our facilities. I think across our league, a lot of players are seeing what we're doing from a facility standpoint. And then they look at Columbus, and it's at the top when it comes to world-class stadium. The environment that we've created at Ohio Health Performance Center is second to none. When we hosted the national team, the U.S. national team, and they trained at Ohio Health Performance Center, we had players like Weston McKinney, American who plays at Juventus, to say that he's never played at a training facility like this, and that's it's better than they have at Juventus. And so it's nice. We know that it's nice, and the people in Columbus do, but it's nice when you have players in the national team and national writers kind of affirming that our facilities are world class. And so we're just hoping to obviously reward the fans, you know, on Saturday in that venue, in our cathedral, lower.com. Because ultimately that's what it's about. You need to produce with these facilities. They need to create these special moments. But when it comes to recruiting players, we absolutely will lead with that. We'll pitch. I mean, you're recruiting players very much like you might be closing a deal or, you know, you're trying to work with partners. It's a two-way street, and they have to know and trust that you're going to take their career and hopefully elevate it to the next level. And they'll win trophies here, but maybe they come to Columbus for a couple of years and then they move back to Europe to maybe a different club, and our facilities help us do that.
Bez, I will say the first time that I ever walked into the stadium, I mean, I was jaw on the ground. I'm like, this is as good as it gets, not only here in MLS, it's as good as it gets in the world. I mean, we've been over to Stamford Bridge, saw a game at Old Trafford, and like, yes, those are two cathedrals of the sport, and we have one here, and it's pretty awesome, and I'm excited to be in the building tomorrow at 3:30, of course, against Vancouver. What's it like for you, just personally, going in? We can talk about all the preseason and everything, and it's good, and on paper, the team looks good, and they're healthy, and you're getting Morris back, and Artur, and Pedro's going through a little bit of a transition there. Bring back Giassi, and Miguel Berry had a tremendous year. But when it gets ready to kick tomorrow afternoon, what's going through your mind? Like, okay, here we go. It's real now.
That's right. You know, it's all planned. It's all planned, and you have you know, hopefully choreographed to a certain degree. And then when the whistle blows, what's great about soccer is it's in the hands of the players more so than probably any sport or any of the major sports. And we trust our leadership group and our veterans like Darlington Nagy and Aloy Room to lead out in the field. And Caleb's plan is always very well organized. It obviously factors in the opponent and what they've done. But the first game of the year is always tricky because it's unpredictable. It's probably more unpredictable than any other game of the year because you've seen the other team maybe in a preseason, some clips and some video, but you don't really know what their identity is. And you don't know how you've evolved when the lights are shining brightest. And so what's going through my head is just, trusting what we've done in preseason and our staff and then our players and then obviously what you want is in those moments, those key moments in the game is to produce and to step up and for players to make plays and they do. So I'm excited about the group we have this year.
And the group has certainly proved that not only in the 2020 Cup run, but at times last year. And we know that they can do that, especially at a high level. And hopefully it all starts tomorrow against the Whitecaps. Bez, appreciate the time. Enjoy today. Enjoy tomorrow for sure. Thank you so much for your time this morning. We'll check in again soon. All right.
All right, thanks. Thanks for having me, guys.
Very good interview there from Beam and, of course, Bobby Carpenter. Love hearing those guys talk soccer on Morning Juice. You can, of course, subscribe to their podcast wherever you get podcasts. Just look up Morning Juice. Next up, it is the owner of the Columbus Crew, Dr. Pete Edwards. He sat down with me to talk about all things Crew logo, and even some Crew 2 discussion. Take it away, Dr. Pete.
Home opener is always special, but what is it got you excited about this new season for the Crew? What are some of the things that you are just as a fan more than maybe the owner? What are you looking forward to with this season?
Well, having been the doctor for 24 years, I'm most excited about having a somewhat reasonable injury year, not a historically bad, biblically bad injury year like we had last year. We had absolutely catastrophic number of injuries last year. So, and we would have, I really believe, had we had a normal year last year, that we would have competed for the cup. When we got reasonably healthy at the end of the year, you saw what we did. You know, we're 7 out of 11 wins, 2 draws, 2 ties, all competitions. You look at that and you're going, hey, you know, we dug that hole when we had, you know, literally we didn't have enough players to train 2 full teams together because of injuries. So that's what I'm hoping for. Not a big wish, just that we don't have to be uninjured like New England last year, which was the healthiest team in a long time. And guess what they did? They set records and won games like crazy. We don't need to do that. We just need to be in the middle and not lose key people altogether and people for the season that can't play. So I'm not asking a lot. I'm just asking to be healthy enough with our new additions, which I'm super excited about. We got that core group of guys back again that can win.
Yeah, and we've seen them win.
Yeah,
that group has won. Yeah,
we know they can do that. So we're really excited about some of the new additions. We think they're going to make us way better. And I don't think we have to be a lot better than we were last year when we were healthy to be really competitive in the Eastern Conference and maybe more than that, right? So we've got a great talent in Lucas Olarion. I mean, that he is a big game player. We saw that in the MLS Cup 2 years ago where he took control of the game. So, but we need to support him more. And we think we've got some pieces now where we're really excited about how they're going to fit together. And I think that once we get going, people are going to look at this and go, oh, crap, these guys are going to be really good.
Well, I hope so. That's what we want around the league.
That's what we hope.
Let's talk about some of the new additions real quick. I just wanted to bring up, just because, again, you're a longtime soccer fan. I'm a longtime soccer fan. There are a lot of people who I think still have this idea with Major League Soccer that, well, talent from Europe isn't going to want to come play in MLS. It's Major League Soccer. That's not the same thing. Yael Yeboah comes over from Poland. He's not the first player to come from that league, obviously, that has joined MLS. You have Alexander Matan, who was playing in Romania previously, and he's been with the team now for a little while. And then Milos Dejnik, who comes from Red Star Belgrade, which is a team that beat Liverpool less than a couple years ago in the Champions League, and Milos was the starting center back, one of the two on that team. That is European experience. Those are top leagues in Europe. These are good players coming in. And Milos is trying to, I mean, he has hopes of making the World Cup with Australia, which is his home country. So he chose MLS. How much did that mean to you as a fan, but also seeing that he wanted to come to, of all the MLS teams, Columbus to play, both those guys?
Well, I think it's checking the box of who we want to be. We want people to look at this club and look at our training facility and look at our style of play and look at our stadium and say, why not? This is a place where I can come play at the highest level. And no longer is this a league where people come if they can't make their World Cup team. But Milos has said, I chose Columbus because I think it gives me the best opportunity to make my World Cup team. Not, I can't go there because I won't. The exact opposite. Well,
that, for people who don't know, that was a thing where guys would say, I don't want to go to I don't want to go to MLS. I got to get noticed by my national team. That's not a problem. That's not as much of a problem now. There are guys who can stay here and get noticed by their national team and play.
For sure. And that's what Milo said in that exact situation of, I want to make my World Cup team. That's what this year's about for me. But I also want to plan where I'm going to play for a while. And this market, this team, this coach, this style of play, these facilities check every box that will let me succeed in the game at the highest level.
So we talked about Yael Yeboah looking like a guy who's got a lot of pace, a lot of skill on the ball. The wing play needs to improve. I know that's been said by everyone, and you guys seem to agree with that. You think Yael Yeboah could be a key to that and getting more out of that right side?
Yeah, I really do. I know Caleb and Bez have been really excited to see Yaw play and how he's already integrating really well with Morea on the right side. When you play a 4-2-3-1, and we're not going to be exclusively 4-2-3-1 this year, I think one of the things that we recognize is depending on injuries, depending on schedule, there may be times when we play a 4-3-3, maybe even this weekend. But in general, the fullbacks, the outside backs, interact with the wingers a ton, and how that play happens is integral in getting shots and in scoring goals. And Steven and Yaw have already found a connection that we didn't have last year. So we think that, you know, you last year you would see times when people forced the ball to our right side and said, sure, bring it up the right. And we didn't do as well. So I think they aren't going to be able to do that this year. They're going to look at it and say, wow, these guys, when they bring it up on the right side, are really dangerous. And when they bring it up on the left side, hey, Caleb Porter thinks that Pedro Santos has excelled already and that there is going to be a step up from last year at left back than where we were when we really loved Milton Valenzuela. And we thought he did a great job. But I think that the team thinks that Pedro is going to add another level being back there full time.
I was talking to a guy who was pretty good at outside, you know, playing a fullback position in Frankie Hayduk earlier today, and he also seemed pretty excited about Pedro. I mean, here's the reality, right? Pedro is an offensive-minded player. That position, you have to be offensive-minded. It's also a physical position. And so I think we're going to find out Pedro's, you know, ability to do that. But I've noticed in a few games that I've seen him play there, there was one in the old stadium a couple years ago. I mean, it might have been now 2019. I'm just trying to remember because of COVID, everything runs together. But there was a game I remember he played left back because we just needed him to. And it was one, I walked out of the stadium saying, that's one of the best games I've seen anyone play left back in MLS history of like the games I've personally watched. So I know he's got the ability to, but you know, that is going to be really interesting. If he can hold that down, then now that puts a lot more opportunities for guys on the wing to play on that side as well. And now you've got a skilled winger coming from the back, and then potentially whoever fills in on that left side and becomes the guy, that's going to be really interesting to watch.
Oh, I'm super excited about it. And I think, you know, people thought last year that Pedro didn't play as well, maybe. Well, he played half of his games at left back.
Yeah.
So, you know, and the teamwork and the chemistry that has to happen from repetitive play in the same environment in the same position is super important. And that integration, when you're jumping one position to another, is going to affect you a little bit. But we're not asking him as a left back to score 10 goals.
Yeah.
But, you know, if he can score 2 or 3 or 4 goals and have 6 or 7 assists, he crosses the ball extremely well.
Yeah.
And we've always known when he played in on the wing, that he was one of the best defensive wingers that there was. So we're super excited that he's really stepped up, and he loves playing back there. He said that he grew up playing there and that he's thrilled to be back there. And he's a selfless guy. He is a team first guy. And I love that. And I think pound for pound, he may be the toughest guy in MLS because he's close to the top every year. And
he does get clobbered all the time. I know some people think that's an act, and there's some gamesmanship certainly at times, but the guy gets fouled. It's him and Alejandro Moreno are, I think, the two most fouled players I've ever seen in my life, and they both play for the crew.
I totally agree. And you know what? He jumps up and keeps playing.
Yeah.
And
eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's true.
There's gamesmanship in soccer. Yeah, and that's part of the drill.
You got to come out. He's a really tough guy.
He stays in there.
I think he's going to hold his own. And he's a veteran. And he's smart. And he's good on the ball. And guys are going to have to respect the fact that if they go forward too hard, that they can get hurt by him quickly.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see how that works as well.
That's a good point. It's a way for him to slow down some of the speedier guys that I'm sure he'll see because they're going to test him. But that's a way to slow that speed down is to burn him the other way. So
yeah. You lose the ball to him at the edge of the attacking third.
Yeah.
And with our midfield.
Yeah,
Z stays up high. Pedro steals the ball, drops it over to Nagby, and boom, you can get a really ugly looking counterattack pretty quickly if Pedro makes that good play at the edge of the opposing attacking third.
There was a thing that I want to say that I believe that was Caleb that had this comment the other day about, like, you know, we may not lead the league in goals, and there was some discussion about that, and I thought if the left back experiment works and Pedro is able to do that, I mean, that allows for more offensive talent to be available to you. You mentioned Steven Moreira having also that ability to really be a guy in the middle and final third who can add a little bit of pressure from an offensive standpoint. Now you're going to have more opportunities for wingers that were sitting behind Pedro to get up there and play too. Oh, and now you've got a legitimate second goal-scoring threat in Miguel Berry. I mean, I don't think this team's going to want for goals this year. I know that every year maybe I'm a little more optimistic than most, but I think Jossie and Miguel Berry are going to provide two really good scoring options. But how do you guys see it?
Yeah, I think so too. I think, I think that that either one of them would start on many MLS teams. And Jossie is a phenomenal team player, phenomenal mentor. And I can't think of a better way for Miguel to grow into his role with the team. And I think that they're both going to start games. Jossie's going to be gone for World Cup stuff. And I think that we got a compact schedule again with the World Cup coming. So I think that plus you've got U.S. Open Cup. There's lots of opportunities for people to start lots of games. So we're really thrilled to have two quality guys at the top. And who knows? Maybe they might even be out there at the same time in some games.
I like that. I like the teaser. Gonna have to stay tuned to find out. I will say Miguel Berry, I feel like he has electrified the fan base in a way that very few people have. Not that other players will certainly have been more popular than this guy I'm about to name, but there was a crazy dude with a big blonde afro back in the day named Steven Lenhart who a lot of fans really enjoyed watching him. And he was, a different guy. Miguel's a lot more technical than him. And Steven Lenhart was a much more throw an elbow when no one's looking and try to get a little something extra. But I feel like that he's got the fan base excited in that way of just, he's kind of like a cult icon, like a figure of like a talisman or whatever you want to call him. Like, he's just a guy people gravitate to because he finds ways to score big goals in big moments.
Oh, so cool. But I got to tell you a Steven Lenhart story.
I was hoping you would.
So at entrance physicals, a lot of times be multiple guys show up at the same time and there's a little bottleneck and who gets their EKG, who gets their cardiac testing, who gets their body fat measurements. And so one time when Steve was here, we had a whole bunch of guys that were waiting and they're all like, what the heck? And so I go in and I do one guy's physical and I come out and Steven is laying on a stool and they are spinning him around. And the person that he's pointing to when he stops spinning is the guy who gets to go next. So he was the physical dial on the game and to see who got their physical. And that's just a typical Steve thing. He was so energetic. He was so much fun on the field. He was such a cool person. And then he came out and played and people just fell in love with him. And I think Miguel can be that guy because look, he came out of nowhere.
He really did.
That he was a great find coming out of college because people probably know MLS, you don't get a lot of people out of college usually. No. And we should talk about one guy we just got out of college. It's going to write that maybe two, but to see him succeed at the level he did coming from where he came from, is super exciting. And we couldn't be happier for him because he's a great guy. And we couldn't be happier for his prospects, with the team as he continues to grow and develop.
Can I ask you a kind of tough question? Is that allowed? Can I ask
of
you
course.
About, because it would be weird if I brought you in here and I didn't ask you about the logo situation. You obviously have heard some of the fans bring up, they're not thrilled with the new logo. I guess my question is this. It's not about hammering the past or let's bring up old arguments or anything like that. Is there any opportunity down the road? It doesn't have to be tomorrow or next week or whatever, that maybe that will get revisited at some point.
Well, it changes hard. And, you know, some people love the new logo. Some people hate the new logo. But I think overall, people have said, it looks pretty good on that new jersey. It looks pretty good on my phone. There was a lot of time and a lot of people who are pros at logos that helped figure out what was not good with our old logo and what was good with our logo and where we should go. And we sure wish that the process would have been more seamless at the start on all fronts. But there's always opportunities to redo things. Do we have any plan to look at the logo? No. Do we think that over time people will grow to love it and they'll just say, hey, C is for what's important. And that's why we picked it. It's not about a brewery. It's not about a German neighborhood. It's really about our city. And we felt like the C is for Columbus. The C is what we stand for as a city and as a community. And we wanted to put that out there and say, hey, we are Columbus. And how better do you do that with a C? And so we're excited about it. We think it looks great on the new gold jersey. And hopefully people over time will come to love it and say, hey, I get it. And let's move forward and cheer and go hard and be proud of what it's supposed to represent.
I sighed there because I'm about to say something I did not think I would find myself saying. You brought up that it does look good on that new jersey. Here's how I have come to see it looking better than I thought. The only little bit that has grown
that's
on
a
me.
That's a big step for you to say.
Well,
that there
you know,
because
you know the conversations we've had off the record. But and you've heard me say it for 3 hours a day on the radio show. But I will say, I think the two stars over top of that logo make a lot of things look better, to be fair. But I do think it does make it look better. Now, I've given you a little bit of, I've come a little your way. Can you acknowledge there's at least a small resemblance of that C to a carabiner?
it is
can
a little.
Can we at least get a carabiner made like that?
You can hook it onto something. So,
all right. Okay. All right. That's, so, I don't mean, no, I'm not really, trying to get you in trouble or anything like
we're,
that.
We're no. thrilled. And you know, the thing that would make it look the best is third star.
Absolutely,
so,
right.
So
I
let's
agree
ring
with that.
Let's ring the whole damn C in stars, and 10 years from now, say that is really cool with five stars around
yes,
it or
right,
whatever. When
right.
10 years from now, when we're having this discussion, to say, wow, you guys were really thinking ahead because this looks really good with all these stars around it.
Black and Gold Week has been quite a thing, and enjoyed the gold standard unveiling of the jersey. You know the importance of a yellow soccer team and a gold jersey. What did that do for you to see us have a gold jersey again?
Well, we were so excited to have gold be a primary color. I mean, there's a lot that goes to these jerseys and the timing of this and all these different things. So without going off in the weeds, I would say this was always the plan, and that we are black and gold and we are the yellow soccer team. There's only one, despite 600 miles down the road thinking that they're another, but we're thrilled to have it back. I think it looks really cool. There's so many parts about the new kit that I like, but I love the front with the logo and the Nationwide and the Adidas, and I love the Ohio with the crosshatch in the corner down at the bottom, and we got a sleeve sponsor now, which we're super excited about. I'm thrilled to have gold be our primary kit again.
You brought up that Ohio logo. I love that Ohio crosshatch logo. That is one of my favorite things that I think has been created around the crew in their entire history, because for me, I like it because it's black and gold. I like it because, yes, I'm from Ohio, and Columbus to me is, you know, the heart of it all and all that stuff. But I also like because there's another technically soccer team in the state borders of Ohio, but they're really Kentucky FC, as I call them. So I like that it kind of has all that. It's black and gold, it's Ohio, and it takes a little bit of a shot to our neighbors down south about 90 miles away.
Yeah, I really, I'll tell you something that I really wanted to do. I mean, kind of jokingly, and it'll never happen, but I wanted to do that whole yellow and black state of Ohio with one tiny little blue orange dot way down in the corner, and that like only like a couple stitches, and just throw that out there that really 99% of the state is black and gold,
but there's
this
one
little thing that drifted out of the river down there in Cincinnati that that's all good fun, and we're thrilled that they're here, and I think it's great for soccer.
Crew 2 is coming online. There's a pipeline now from the academy or even the youth leagues prior to that to the academy. What is that going to be like, and what is Crew 2 for people who don't know?
Yeah, so Crew 2, the Haslams and my family have gone all in player development, and we feel like that's a really important part of how building a successful soccer organization works. We have to succeed at building elite soccer players in the Midwest. There's a tremendous number of kids that play, and we need to put them in an environment where they can succeed and become pros. And that starts in kids that are as young as 13, 14 years old, and they build through our academy system. But until this year, we never had a professional stepping stone for them that would allow them as 16-year-olds to compete against full-grown men to grow their skills, because if you aren't playing against people that are better than you, then you're not going to grow the same way. So we're super, super blessed and super excited to have Mark Nichols joining our team. He was in charge of the Seattle Sounders youth development programs years ago. He had a very short stay in Charlotte, and we were beyond excited to get him to join our team. So he's going to take these 13-year-olds that are athletically gifted and really fast and really motivated, and he's going to help mold these kids through the academy so that when it comes time to be a professionals, but maybe not quite first team, then they can step into the Crew 2 environment. So that's the most important thing for us, is it's the stepping stone in player development.
And for people who aren't familiar, maybe you're just kind of newer to soccer. I mean, that's what it is in Europe. When people say, well, how does Europe get so much better than everybody else in soccer? How does, you know, Brazil? It's like, that's how that works. They have academies. They have youth teams. They find the best talent early. They get them to say, hey, do you want to come play here? Be a part of our organization. Learn how we play. Learn the style we want to play. And then that's because there's a guy like Mark Nichols who's at the top of it saying, we're guiding this all the way up to when you become a senior national team player, when you're getting paid hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars to play soccer. You've now learned how to play it our way. And then there's a good chance you're going to play for that team for a while. And Seattle has had a lot of success doing that. Not just teams in Europe do too, obviously, but it has worked in MLS in this system. And now one of the guys who was in charge of that is coming here to do the same thing. That's a really encouraging thought.
Oh, it's super exciting. And you know, we'll have professionals that are playing in the USL and another mid-tier professional league. And we'll have other European people come that are trying to break into the MLS. So it won't just be our development guys, but it will be some of our first team guys. If they don't play on Saturday night and we need them to get 60 minutes, because in soccer, if you don't play games, you don't get better. So you can't just train all the time. It's going to be a really exciting mix. It's kind of like You take some guys off the PGA Tour, but you take some guys off the Corn Ferry Tour, and you put them in the same tournament, and you know they're out there together, and you're like, oh my God, I get to see a guy that I watch on Saturday night. I get to see him on Sunday afternoon with a guy who may take that guy's place in a couple years. So
maybe a better way to describe this for like college football fans or people who watch college sports is if your local pro team had a relationship with a college team, obviously it's different because this is all in the crew's house, but it'd be like Joe Burrow's coming off of injury for the Bengals and he just suits up and plays with like Ohio State football one weekend and then heads back up to Cincinnati or down to Cincinnati. Like that, it's that level of, you could see a guy who is an established pro who's got a great career and is a star in the league who's going to possibly have to do that. But it's also, if that does happen, and it won't happen every week, those are going to be sometimes 17-year-old guys that are in the academy that look up to that dude who are going to get to play right along next to him. And that guy might be able to pull him aside later in training next week and say, hey, I noticed you do this. Don't do that. Let me help you. Like, let me, that relationship building is probably going to be huge too, I would guess.
100%. We built the training facility, and Issa Tall is, deserves a huge recognition for how he built our facility, because he was all over Europe in all the big facilities. And it's not just a building. It's about creating the culture of how a 14-year-old kid can sit next to his idol and see how they train and how they do things with the same technical direction from Mark that will let them flow into their idol's seat 8 or 10 years down the road. So that's just really exciting. And I think it makes the kids train better. It makes the kids train harder. It introduces them to a culture that's never been seen in soccer, you know, until these high-level academies. I mean, these kids sign contracts with us. They have a signing day. They're 13 years old. They're 14 years old, and their pictures and their parents
are there. I
can't
imagine. My head would be so big if I was 13 or 14 and I found out I got to sign with the crew. That would be awesome.
Yeah, it's a pretty neat deal.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, so if people want to watch Crew 2, they can do that. Obviously, we're talking about the crew as well, but Crew 2 will be at Historic Crew Stadium, and you'll be able to watch those games there on Sundays typically. Yep. Not every, I don't know if it's every week, but it's most of the weeks of the season they'll be playing there. No bubble. The dome will go away by the time that starts, so it will be outside. But very cool stuff. I love hearing about Crew 2 because that does feel like another step towards building soccer in this country the right way and not a quick way. So.
It is not quick, but it can be extremely rewarding to, you know, build a, ask New York, ask Dallas, ask Philadelphia, where really part of their philosophy as a club is create a star and then have them go to Europe and get a big paycheck for having them develop them and sending them to Europe.
Yeah.
And we're a little more homegrown. We're a little bit more, you know, come play for us. But that's the world of soccer is develop a talent and, that they may grow to a point where they want to head to Europe and try and play.
Yeah. Alfonso Davies played for Vancouver. I remember seeing him the 1 or 2 years he was there, and now that guy has starred for Bayern Munich and been one of the best players in Europe. And there's a chance that kid lives in Ohio, lives in Columbus, and without this type of organizational thing might get missed. And that's another way, hopefully, that kid gets to find that path, and I think that's cool. I'm huge on development of the game. I know you are too, so that's why I took so much time talking about that.
Yeah.
Final thoughts? Anything you want fans to hear from you before the season starts? You know, about the news, about the stadium, or just the team in general. What are your kind of closing thoughts here as we head into the new season?
Well, I think that one of the most important reasons that I'm here and involved is because the city stepped up and the community stepped up, and we really still are super excited about giving back to the community. And as part of Black and Gold Week, we dedicated a library this week, and we announced our fifth mini pitch.
And that's one of those very cool grow the game type of things that just gets kids another chance to, you know, see soccer, play soccer, and then go from there. If it works out that they play it further than that, that's great, but it does get them exposed to the game, and that's
well
good.
We, you know, I believe strongly, and the Haslams believe strongly, that if kids play sports and sports are tied to schools, that it increases the likelihood that a kid's going to stay in school and do better in school so that they can play the sport that they want to play. So that there's a method behind the madness of these mini pitches, on top of the fact that we want to give kids a safe place to play. Because a lot of these communities where they are, maybe they don't have a safe place to play. And this is somewhere where they can go and they can knock the ball around with their friends. They can, you know, they can play soccer, but sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it's kickball. Sometimes it's whatever. But we want it to be a safe place for kids to go and do something physical that they're excited about. So
very cool.
We're really excited about those. There's other community aspects where we are going to be talking about other programs that we're involved in that hopefully make everybody know that this is about the community, this is about Columbus. And at the end of the day, it's a game, and we love that everybody comes, but it's about being partners.
All right, Beam, there you go. We talked to, I think, every person who works for the crew or has played for the crew in the past. We've talked to everyone. I think we nailed it. Good job, buddy.
I mean, I wouldn't say it was a great job. You did more of the job than I did. But we did talk soccer, and yes, it was very fun. I'm excited for the game coming up tomorrow. I don't know if you're listening to this before the game or whatever. Very excited. And we're doing a live broadcast after the match at the pub after we see the Columbus Crew take down the Vancouver Whitecaps. Very excited about that.
It's going to be very interesting to watch you, a conflicted soul, who will be standing there watching the Columbus Crew, your home team, versus the Vancouver Whitecaps, where I know your heart lies. Your heart lies over the Whitecaps. Anyway.
Sure does.
But yeah, Bone and Beam United live, our first live broadcast. It'll be on 97.1 The Fan locally in Columbus. Mm-hmm. You can listen to it anywhere in the world from 971thefan.com. And of course, you can podcast it afterwards right here where you're already getting our podcast. It'll be here in this thing. So find it there later. All right. Hopefully you'll come out and see us at the game. Hopefully the crew get a big victory. We'll talk to you next week on Bone and Beam United.